I'm Josh Scherer.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
All right, I've recovered from my opening rant there on that ESPN ranking of the 100 best football players. Let's get to something a lot more tangible, although maybe not harder to define. Although maybe it is limits. Maybe it is. Let's bring in Wes Durham from the ACC Network, a good friend of the station. He's on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Wes, thank you for joining us. How are you?
I'm great, Joe. Nice to be with you. Happy football.
Happy football. We got some ACC games here, at least teams involved in these games, kicking it off in a big way. Notre Dame, Miami, Bama, FSU, and LSU, Clemson. And that's where we begin. Clemson. I think they had 11 players on the preseason All-ACC team. By my count, that's half the team. Are they a prohibitive favorite here to win the conference?
Yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah, they should be. You know, this is I have said this to some folks since the ACC kickoff in Charlotte in late July. You know, 3 years ago, Dabo Swinney was a punching bag for people about the portal and NIL. You know, you remember those days. You know, and Clemson wasn't dominant 3 years ago. They were doing well. They won some ACC titles, but they weren't dominant at the time. And Florida State looked to be on the ascent, right? Remember, and then they posted the undefeated regular season and won the championship, and only to get left out.
Right.
But Dabo took a lot of hits in those previous 18 months or so. And for me, those people that, you know, lashed out at Dabo Swinney, it's going to get interesting because I think he may have kept receipts, you know?
I think he probably did. Good. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's not the type to do it, but it feels like he might, you know, at some point, you know, if they get off to the start, I think they're going to get off to, and look at LSU and the ACC's playing five ranked non-conference games this weekend. And that's never happened to open a season in conference history.
Wow.
So the ACC is kind of going all in here in the first weekend when you look at it. And I don't know what the record's going to be. I hope it's 3-2 or 4-1 or who knows, maybe 5-0 if we want to dream high enough. But I think Clemson is going to be really good. I think they have a chance to spend the entire year in the top five because I just think that, you know, even with one loss, I don't know what kind of game it would be, but, you know, it might be close enough that they wouldn't move very much. We'll see. But I think all the indicators are there. They've got two of the best four front guys in the country in Peter Woods and TJ Parker. Their secondary is really good with Avion Terrell and Ashton Hampton. The linebackers, which are not as well known, are Sammy Brown and Wade Woodas, who could be terrific. And I think Tom Allen, and you know this from watching him at Penn State, Tom Allen's a hell of a defensive coordinator. So I think they have a chance to be very good there, and I think Garrett Riley and Cade Klubnik are finally on the same page, and Matt Luke, the offensive line coach, and they got skill guys on the perimeter. And the only real question about them is we don't know a lot about Gideon Davidson or, you know, Adam Randall, who's going to run the football for them, and what that turns out to be. But I think they've got a really, really solid chance to run the table here.
Pitt was picked ninth in the preseason voting, and as with every team, pretty much at every level of football, a lot of this depends on the quarterback. And I'm wondering, I was looking at a ranking of ACC quarterbacks today, it might have been from CBS, somewhere like that. Eli Holstein only 12th on that list. What do you think of Pitt? What do you think of him?
Well, I like him a lot. I think a lot of Pitt's preseason conjecture has to do with the way last year ended, like most of these, right?
Yeah.
And I had the SMU game. I did the game where they lost for the first time. And I had some questions coming out of that game. And then I had the Virginia game the next week at home at Acrisure. And after that, I didn't know what to expect. It was counterintuitive to the Pitt program that I'd seen. And, you know, I've always enjoyed covering Pat's teams. I like his staff. I think they've done really well. I think they got playmakers on offense, and they certainly have a playmaker on defense in Lewis, who I think is a terrific player. But they've got to open strong. Now, I know it's Duquesne on Saturday, Joe, but I think that we tell the tale of this team in the first month. And by what we see in that first month, because I know they go to Morgantown at some point in there, right?
Yeah.
That whole process has to play itself out. They're a team that has to build your trust. In other words, you have to kind of see who they are. And I think they've got a chance to jump into the front here. Holstein being picked 12th is somebody not looking at the league. I mean, I know there's 17 teams playing football in the ACC. He's better than 12th.
Yeah, it felt low to me as well.
Yeah, I mean, he's a top 10 easy. Now, the problem is Klubnik is like mock draft one or whatever the case may be. Haynes King gets a lot of love, a lot of people. I have questions and concerns about like Carson Beck at Miami. The injury he's coming off of, the comparison I've heard is it's the same injury that Chubba Purdy had with the 49ers. Well, if that's the case, I'm not so sure you come back and Sunday night against Notre Dame, he's going to be lights out, right?
Yeah.
So I think Carson Beck is the one that we probably upgraded a little too far. But I also believe that Eli Holstein is really, really talented. I think the line in front of him, they're not the brand names we've known in the past for Pitt. They're guys who have emerged there. And I'm excited to see what the skill is on the perimeter. We've been waiting, it feels like, on Kenny Johnson for a long time to be a consistent playmaker. This feels like it might be his time. And Des Reed is a showstopper. He is, I mean, he's like Dylan Edwards at Kansas State, who unfortunately got hurt the other day, a guy who can run it and catch it and impact the game in so many different ways. And I'm excited and kind of optimistic, and I'd buy Pitt now, knowing kind of the way this offseason has gone. The two teams that I think you have to keep an eye on earlier are NC State and Pitt, because I think they both have talent on both sides to kind of crawl into the conversation behind Clemson and Miami in the ACC.
Meanwhile, and we're talking to Wes Durham, the ACC Network, one of the most fascinating stories, actually, I think, ever in college football to me. I mean, all we have here is the greatest NFL coach, arguably, ever, suddenly coaching North Carolina. What's going to happen here? Yeah. They open, I don't know, TCU was decent last year. Are they any good? And then October 4th, it's Bill Belichick against number 4 Clemson. Well, how's this going to play out, Wes?
I think it's going to be fascinating. And I will tell you this, having kind of grown up around that program with my dad doing the games, Joe.
Yeah.
I was there a week or change ago for the road show we did for ACC Network. And Carolina football has never been discussed more in a 6 or 7 month period than it has since Ben Belichick's been hired, since Belichick was brought on. I mean, it's just not even possible. And it's been since post-World War II. When they had Charlie Choo Choo Justice as a running back, and he was back to back, spent consecutive years as a runner up to the Heisman Trophy. Mm. And I'll say this, that was my dad's childhood hero growing up.
Wow.
And Choo Choo Justice never had this. I mean, now the way we do all this, it's over the top. There are people going to go to Chapel Hill for Monday night, Bob, and they're going just because they want to be a part of it. They're not even got tickets to the game. They don't know how the hell they're going to get in if they even wanted to try. But they want to go tailgate. They want to be in campus. They want to see what the frenzy is about. And look, it's a singular moment in Carolina football. Now, here's the kicker, though, Joe. They may not win the damn game.
Right.
I mean, Josh Hoover is a really good quarterback. But the two things I gleaned from watching them practice. Number one, it is a different practice because he's involved. I mean, he's literally involved in drills, which you don't see. You and I have been to enough practices. You don't see the head coach involved in drills a lot, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he's involved. Now, he's a 70-odd-year-old guy coaching college football for the first time since he had a GA job for Lou Holtz for 3 weeks in the mid-70s at NC State. That's the only other time in his career he's ever been affiliated with college football. And I think that they are going to be prepared. I expect them to execute. I think they'll be fundamentally sound, and they're going to be good on defense because Bill Belichick's teams, even in Cleveland, didn't suck on defense, right?
That's
even
right.
Those were bad teams, they didn't stink. And for me, I am really, really curious to see what Freddie Kitchens and Bill Belichick and some of that staff put together on offense. Because Gio Lopez, the quarterback, who I think will be the quarterback, is a dual threat guy. He can make plays with his feet, make plays with his arms. They are going to be decent in the offensive line. If they beat TCU, they've got a chance to run it to October undefeated. Now, can you imagine that? Clemson, Carolina, undefeated in Chapel Hill in October. Now the ACC takes the stage, Joe. You want to talk about the opening weekend? Imagine you get Clemson, Carolina, Bill Belichick, Dabo Swinney, undefeated in Chapel Hill on a Saturday night on ABC.
Let's do this, Limits. You're up.
Wes, what do you like about Cade Klubnik? Because, you know, obviously the Steelers next year are going to be looking for a quarterback. We always hear about Arch Manning and Aller and Sellers and Nussmeier.
Wow.
Klubnik is really, I feel like, starting to have his name more in the conversation. What have you seen from the guy that's going to be leading a top five team in the country in Klubnik?
Is this because he went 50 untouched to beat Pitt last year?
I think that probably helps.
Yeah. Look, I think he's going to be a talented player at the next level. I don't know that I am the best, even though I've done the Falcons for a long time. I don't know that I can project guys like the way some people do. Because I see quarterbacks who I think will be pretty good at the NFL level, and it hasn't turned for them. I think he's a bright guy. I think he has mastered the media concepts at Clemson, which you have to do as their quarterback. But I'm so far in his career, and some of it due to health and some of it due just to bad coaching. Trevor Lawrence has not materialized at the next level yet, right? This is a big year for him. I think Klubnik, though, has physically and mentally all the skill you want to be a quarterback at the next level. Whether that's in Pittsburgh or not, if you're telling me he's playing for Mike Tomlin, who I have a ton of respect for, I think he can quarterback anybody's team. But the NFL, as you guys know better than most, it's really about the singular matchups and how deep your team is. I mean, we're learning that in Atlanta with some of these injuries we've had in training camp and preseason. But I would buy Cade Klubnik. But there are other guys I would buy, too. I think if I get to see the full body of work of Arch Manning and not just, you know, bites and chews here and there, I might buy Arch Manning, too. But I think this is a fascinating quarterback draft we're headed to next April, and one that's going to get discussed, you know, a ton. But I think Klubnik's going to be in that first five for sure. First five picks next April for sure.
I'm Josh Eyre.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
Wes, we'll leave you with this one. What, in your opinion, is the biggest story in all of college football going into this season?
I think the one, Joe, that's not being discussed as much is how many teams are actually in contention for the national championship. I don't think this is an open book case of four or five schools. I think we're into the 12, maybe 14 possible teams who can win the national championship. I think you look at the Big 12 that played out on Saturday with K-State, Iowa State. I think any of seven teams could win that league still. Yeah. I think the ACC has Clemson and Miami, and I think there's some willing participants who could crawl in that discussion. I think the SEC is Texas, Georgia, but I'm as fascinated about that league to see if anybody else can play to their level. And then in the Big 10 – it's Ohio State, Penn State. I'm sure Michigan wants a say-so at the table. I'm sure there are two or three other schools that would like a say-so at the table. If that happens, that immediately takes you right there to about 12 or 14 schools.
Yeah.
So then, and we haven't even added Boise State yet to the conversation. Because Boise State is probably going to have a chance. If they beat Notre Dame in early November, Boise State's going to have a chance to have a decent seed in this thing. And I'll throw Notre Dame in there because Marcus deserves that after last year's effort for sure.
Ohio State, I guess I have one more. Ohio State I have to laugh when I see, you know, them almost counted out by some people, or you know, this is going to be some sort of struggle. Then I read they might have the best defense in the country. They might have the best receivers in the country.
Well, they got the best receiver now. That conversation's over.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He might be the best player. Not even close. That guy, you want to talk about somebody we know what that'll be at the next level? We know what that'll be at the next level. That'll be a showstopper.
And then Ryan Day is 28-1 at home, and he's got Texas and Penn State coming to Columbus. And, you know, the question, I guess, is the quarterback, but he's also a five-star, Julian Sain, and I think he might do okay. So I don't think anybody would be wrong to pick Ohio State, is what I'm saying.
No, not at all. And I would add this, too. It's my favorite line from my time working with Paul Johnson at Georgia Tech over the years, Joe. Paul Johnson used to have a great line when it came around to recruiting classes. And he goes, well, they all come highly recommended. I mean, you know, Ohio State has had a full, you know, decade of they all come highly recommended.
I'll say.
And Ryan Day, I mean, to me, Ryan Day is one of the best coaches in the country. Now, for sure, with Nick Saban retiring and things like that, I think he's done a magnificent job in Columbus. Given what he inherited and given how it all went down, I think he's been terrific. I really do. I think he could – you want to talk about a guy who one day maybe wants to go to the next level and would be successful in the college game? I'd put Ryan Day on that list for sure. Absolutely.
Is James Franklin capable of finishing the deal here? And I promise that's the last one.
No, I absolutely think he is. And I think Penn State – I was at State College last year for the playoff game with SMU. And the fact that they have the battery in the backfield coming back, that is a huge, huge deal. And Jim Knowles, who they got from Ohio State as a defensive coordinator now in State College, Joe, easily one of the five best DCs in this country. Not even close. I mean, he is terrific on that side of the ball. They lost a good one. They got one just as good, maybe better. And I'm really excited to see what he does for James. But the Drew Aller, Catron Allen, Nick Singleton triumvirate in the backfield, it doesn't get complicated there. Plus, they can throw it to my man from Cartersville, Georgia, Devontae Ross on the perimeter, right?
There you go.
And Trevor Pena comes over in the portal.
Right.
The real question is how do you offset the loss of maybe Warren at tight end, I guess, but they got guys there. But you know, and then they were so good in defense, and I just love the way they played defensively, and I'm sure Jim has embraced that as well from what they had, because he's one of the best I've ever seen in college football of adapting to talent and adapting to players. It's not you adapt to me, it's me adapt to you. And
right.
He's so good. I met him when he was at Duke. He was phenomenal. And then I watched him do it at Oklahoma State and Ohio State, and now certainly at Penn State. I think he'll be great.
Well, that's another little dramatic story that we were arguing about on the top of the show. Me and my friend Austin here to my left is Jim Knowles goes to Penn State, even though Ohio State wanted to keep him, for all that money. And then Matt Patricia, a three-time Super Bowl winner, winds up at Ohio State. That's great stuff.
Yeah. Well, and then, you know, who else wears a pencil in their hat better than Matt Patricia?
Yes, exactly. Nobody wears a pencil in their hat.
You're
going
to go get
anymore.
Somebody to do your defense. You got to have a pencil in your hat. I mean, Matt Patricia, the best.
Thank you, Wes.
So, all right, guys. Take
we
care. Have a great fall.
Time.
We'll see you soon.
You too.
You bet.
He's the greatest man currently alive, isn't he, Limits? That was unbelievable.
Yeah, he does a great job. He does a great job with the Falcons games, too. I love hearing his highlight calls.
Man, I pumped for college football. I really am. Unlike any recent year. And all this crap you hear about, NIL's ruining it, the transfer portal's ruining it. Really? That's what you're going to be thinking about when you tune into Notre Dame, Miami, and Alabama, Florida State, and LSU, Clemson? That's what you're going to know. You're not. You're going to be riveted. And all of us are going to be watching and scouting quarterbacks during this season, 10 of them, and some we probably don't even know about yet, who will emerge and project them into the NFL on the Steelers. You can't ruin it. It's like the NCAA basketball tournament. The stupidest minds on earth can't ruin it. You just can't. You can't ruin college football. I can't wait. You get to pick one game, Limits, this weekend to watch.
Oh, man.
What is it? Surely it's not Pitt Duquesne, although it should be interesting.
I can't wait to have my friend
be there.
I can't wait to have my friend on from Duquesne.
When is he coming on?
I saw him this weekend. I'll have to ask him for Friday. We'll try to get him on Friday.
Yes, we should. So you get to watch one game. I'm not sure for me it's not TCU at North Carolina on Monday Night Football, for God's sakes. We just had Wes tell us, and his dad was a legendary figure announcing North Carolina. Tell us that you can't get tickets to the game.
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to be, and they have the best colors in football, right? What is it, Limits? What kind of blue?
It's the Carolina blue.
Carolina blue. That place is going to be packed. It's going to be crazy. And Bill Belichick, love him or hate him, love him and hate him, is going to be walking on and running onto the field and on the sidelines. That's the one for me. How about you?
I feel like there are multiple right answers here. Texas, Ohio State is by far number one for me. I mean, that is such a fascinating game. Arch Manning against Ohio State at the Shoe. Of course, it's at noon. Ohio State would have been okay with it being at night, but I guess Texas is the one that opted to say, nope, we're good. We'll keep it at noon.
Well, like I told Wes, you know, I have to laugh at Ohio State, the step back talk about Ohio State, as they have maybe the best defense in college football, maybe the best player, maybe the best receiving core, certainly one of the top three coaches, and a five-star kid stepping in at quarterback. I may pick Ohio State to win the national championship. I think they're going to win that game by 10 or more points.
Joe, they have the two best players in the country. Jeremiah Smith, the wide receiver, and Caleb Downs at safety.
In
my opinion, those are the two best players in the country. They're that good. So that's going to be a difficult matchup regardless of who they're playing.
Man, I feel like I haven't really seen Arch Manning. You know what I mean? We got a little sampling last year. To me, this is his real unveiling. And who knows? Who knows? That could be the Steelers' next quarterback. You don't know that, and neither do I. Well, we do know this. The Steelers have to have their roster down by tomorrow late afternoon to 53, and who better to talk about that than Dr. Michael DeFabo coming on next from The Athletic. One great man after another, right, Limits?
Of course.
We go from Wes Durham to Mike DeFabo. I want to ask him who's on the bubble. I had a rant planned on Skylar Thompson. Yeah, what the hell? I'll do the rant now. Why wouldn't I, right? It's been a ranting hour. Can people please calm down on this guy, Limits? Please? I hear people on this station saying he's outplayed Mason, and I think people are overdoing it on Mason. Like, oh, we got no worries there. I never worry about Mason. I do. I would worry a lot if he had to be your starting quarterback. But forget about that. He's fine as a backup, I guess, if that's what you mean. You don't worry about him simply as your backup, although the backup's primary function is to play if the starter's out, and then he'd be your starter. I worry about him. But he's certainly better than Skylar Thompson. What are we doing here? Are we this desperate for content that we completely and willfully ignore that Skylar Thompson did his best work against backups for the Jacksonville Jaguars and something worse than backups for the Carolina Panthers? What are we doing? What are we doing here? Mason came into that Jacksonville game, and the Jags defense played one series, and he ripped them up. Okay, then the backups came in and Skylar Thompson played really well. There's a difference there. I mean, Jacksonville's starters aren't even good. But then you get to, it would be like me. Come on, what are we doing? Limits. It would be like me playing a one-on-one in basketball. No offense to you. I'll choose Crowley instead of you.
Please.
I'll play a game of 15 against Doran Dickerson, and then I'll play a game of 15 against Crowley. No, I'll play Crowley first. So everything I could do against Crowley, backing him in, shooting over him, D-ing up, doing basically anything I wanted, I could do nothing like that, none of that against Doran. I don't think people out there need me to tell who you're going against, do they?
No, not at all. I mean,
it seems like they do, though, because I've heard, again, people on the station, people at large, fans, you know, saying, oh, Skylar Thompson, he might be better than Mason. No, he might not be. And he's not. Certainly not based on this preseason, when he did really well against a different crop of defenders than Mason against Jacksonville, had a bad second game with a passer rating of 61.2. And then why would anybody make any kind of judgment that's relatively sane based off a game against the Carolina Panthers backups? What are we doing? Maybe I've lost my mind limits. I don't know. Mike DeFabo coming up next. 50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler. Yeah, you trade Mason. Keep Skyler as the backup. No, don't do that. South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township. Listen to the Pop and Joe Show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Maybe I'm just sad that it's my daughter's first day of her senior year of high school. Maybe that's the seed that is growing into these rants today, Limits.
Oh, that combined with just 1 hour of sleep, yeah. And it's a Monday. There's a lot of things that are piled onto this sandwich.
You're not kidding.
I'm Josh Eyre.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich
free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.